says this, then Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. Jesus had just been baptized. It says this, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness where he was by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. For some of us, it would only take about 3 hours for us to be at that condition of very hungry. Jesus, 40 days later, he's very hungry. Verse 3, it says, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over all of them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Verse 9, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and guard you. And they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. The title of this message today is this, Seizing Your Opportunity. Seizing Your Opportunity. Opportunities are special. If it's good, everybody for the most part loves an opportunity. I don't know about you, but I love opportunities, especially to like win something. Every year we'll go to Santa Cruz, and my favorite part, other than hanging out with my family, is playing the games at the boardwalk. And it never fails. And I'll make my wife take videos of me doing this. I will go shoot baskets, spend $30 on a game to hopefully win a basketball that's only worth about $9 on Amazon. But it's not really about the prize. It's about the opportunity. There's just something about waking up knowing there's an opportunity today. Opportunities are special. You know, for us, the word opportunity in English comes from three Latin words that paint this picture. That says this, in front of a harbor or a picture of a favorable wind that takes you home to your harbor. Envision people on a boat and they're trying to get home and they're struggling, but all of a sudden there's this wind coming. What is it? It's an opportunity. They capitalize on it and it takes them right where they're supposed to be. It's an opportunity. And I believe in this room, there's opportunities all around you. Hundreds of opportunities. And it's exciting. But an opportunity is just an opportunity unless we seize it. But this is what I have learned about my opportunity, about your opportunity, is that you are not the only one trying to seize your opportunity. In Luke chapter 4, the very last verse, you see that Jesus is finished being tempted. And then it says this, that when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Can I tell you that the devil also likes to seize opportunities? The devil also thinks that opportunities are really, really special. And in this moment, we see that he leaves Jesus temporarily until another opportunity presents itself. And when I read this, I was like, well, I wonder when else he shows up. Because if I can see when he shows up, I can point it back to another opportunity. And towards the end of Jesus's life, you see the devil show up again. And it says this in John chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, not Yosemite, Gethsemane. And he's praying. And he's in agony. And he's like sweating drops of blood. This is like the pressure cooker. This is what maybe some of you feel like today in your life. Like, man, I don't know that I could take another step. And the Bible says this When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew of this place, for Jesus offered there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" Jesus is in this garden, and the devil shows up. And I know what you're thinking. It's Judas, not the devil. But the Bible says prior to this moment, Satan entered Judas. So when Judas steps in the garden, the devil showed up in the garden, indicating another place of opportunity. As I look at these two stories, the wilderness and the garden, I start to examine it a little bit more carefully. And for anybody that reads their Bible, they would know that after these moments take place, they led to some phenomenal things. When Jesus was in the wilderness, it was tough, but when he came out of the wilderness or took advantage of that opportunity, he began to do miracles. He was healing people. He was raising people back to life again. People didn't have anything. He was bringing them hope. Miracles were happening in the life of Jesus. When I look at the garden, Jesus passed the test. He goes to a cross where he would die for the sins of humanity, and it's why you and I are here today. All of these moments were not just this devil's opportunity. These were monumental moments for Jesus. And the reason why this was such a great opportunity for the devil is because there was such a great opportunity for Jesus. What I'm trying to say today is if you're experiencing some opposition in your life, it could be a sign that it's not really Satan's opportunity, it's yours. It's the one you've been praying for. It's the one you've been believing for. The devil doesn't just say, you know what, it's Tuesday, I'm going to go visit this person. No, he's intentional. He knows what's around the corner, so he shows up. And when I see him show up in my life, it's an indicator that, Andrew, you are right in the middle of an opportunity. Could you be right in the middle of something special? Something you've been praying for? And I know for the most part, all of us would say, Andrew, I would never miss my opportunity. I would never let the devil seize my opportunity. We would all say that, and I would believe you. But the devil is so tricky and crafty. He'll cause you to miss an opportunity and you not even know that you're missing it. He'll cause you to be right in the middle of an opportunity and you not even know that an opportunity is what you're in. He's so creative, he's so crafty, he studies you, he knows you. He knows how to distract you. You could be right there at the 1 yard line and he can get your mind off it in a moment. He's crafty. Look at what he did to Jesus. He was such a trickster. And when I see how he tried to get Jesus off his game, I say, Andrew, that's what he's going to try to do to you. And I think sometimes in our life, we can look at the story and say, well, Jesus was tempted 3 times. I would have passed all those temptations. I don't know. I probably would have been 0-for-3, if I'm honest. I mean, just walk through it for a moment. Let's just be real. Jesus is hungry. He's starving. The devil shows up. Hey, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, turn that rock into a loaf of bread. That sounds like a God idea. I mean, he's also challenging me. Like, if I'm this, let me show you who I am. Most of you would have done it because you're prideful. Your ego wouldn't have let you say no. That would have been me. I got people that are younger than me that want to like challenge me to a basketball game. And it don't matter how long it's been since I played, I still believe I would get out there to prove myself. Let me show you how to, and then I'm sore and it's just a mess. It's bad. My wife, no joke, she had finished running 6 miles, said, would you want to just go run 1 mile with me? I said, sure, it can't be that bad. I'm like moving like a grandpa. It's took me 13 minutes to run 1 mile. Oh, my goodness. So not only is someone testing you, you're also really hungry looking for bread, batting 0-for-1. Then next, he's like, hey, he shows Jesus everything. shows them all the kingdoms of the world. And says, hey, Jesus, I'll give them all to you if you just bow down and worship me. Now, I know you would say, I would never bow down and worship the devil. But I think some of us would have seen it as an opportunity. Well, you know, what better hands in the kingdom than mine? You mean all I got to do is just bow down and the kingdom's mine? Wow, this sounds like a wealth transfer. I think I would do it. You would justify it in your mind. And to be honest, some of us are doing that without even knowing we're doing it. That's just a little side note. It might have checked maybe one person. And then this last temptation. Jump off the temple and angels will save you. Satan's quoting scripture to Jesus. He's preaching to, he says, Jesus, if you do it, the scriptures say that angels will be, he's quoting Psalms. And this is why you got to be really careful who you're listening to. Just because someone's preaching scripture doesn't mean it's coming from the right heart. You better pay attention to motive. You better pay attention to the spirit in which things are being said, because the same sword that can heal you is the same sword that can kill you. He's quoting scripture. He's crafty. He's not going to show up with a pitchfork and say, I'm here to seize your opportunity. He's going to get you off your game and you not even know it. Last week, Pastor Randy had called me and he had asked me if my sister was coming to church. I'm not sure if she's here today. I already got permission to share this. I love my sister. I only got one sibling. And I said, I'm going to call her, but I don't think she's coming. Vikings are playing, doing pretty phenomenal this year, might I say. He says, just call her, invite her, tell her to come back. Tell her to come, call her. Listens to Pastor Randy. She's here. She comes on Sunday last week. And she had been going through some things in her life and comes here. And I can tell God did something special. Actually, she is here. I saw my niece wearing a Viking jersey. Where is she at? Where is she at? Can you wave at me? Stop acting like you don't know me. Look at there. Look at her right there. Wearing the right jersey in church today. I see her come up on stage dedicating the baby. And I can see God's doing something in her. When we leave church, I called her. I said, hey, what happened? She said, like, God did something. And I can clearly see. I said, well, what happened? She says, I've been battling these things since I was 15. And there's things that tend to run in some families more than others, but regardless of what it is, you can put an end to that thing. And she says, I've been battling this thing. And then pastor started to say some things to me. He's dedicating the baby, but he started saying some things to me on stage. And when I was done, I felt like God spoke to me and gave me the answer to why I continue in this cycle. And for her specifically, I'm not saying this is for you. The devil's just crafty. It's all rooted in the same lie, but it's different ways that he does it. He said, God spoke to me and to stop being superstitious. Stop being superstitious about everything. And if I could resist that, then I can walk in the freedom that God has for me. Stop being super. I said, that's awesome. He gave you the step. Cool deal. 24 hours later, I get a phone call from her. She's crying. She's crying. I'm sorry, Erica. She's crying. And she's in tears. I'm like, what's wrong? Well, me and Brian, that's my brother-in-law, we're going out of town and everything's just good, but the baby just started crying out of nowhere. And it was like different. She was like really crying. Like, and I thought to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't go on this trip. And I'm like, well, you should. Well, she's like, well, I'm already home. I said, Erica, can I tell you something real quick? Can I tell you something? Yesterday you told me that God said this to you. And in 24 hours, you forgot about it because the devil was so crafty. You might be in the middle of an opportunity and not even know it because he's so creative in how he does it. You might think it's just your baby throwing a tantrum, but it is the devil trying to rob your opportunity so you don't step in the fulfillment of what God said he would do. Don't get played by him. He's crafty. If he did it with Jesus, he will do it with you. That's why you got to get in some circles of some people that can see what you don't see, because you keep falling for the same tricks every single time. What did I say? I said, get on that, go to that trip. I said, you go on that trip. This isn't even just about you. This could be about your children and your children's children. This devil ends with us once and for all. This is your opportunity. And for many of us, you could be right in the middle of an opportunity and not even know it because you're distracted. Why? Because he's creative. There's two things that Jesus does in this scenario that I believe you and I can do. Because we are going to seize our opportunity. You don't have to wait another 10 years. This might be your first day at church today. You can seize it today and watch God catapult you into your future. There's two things that we see in the story, practically speaking, that I believe, not if you can go do 100 things, but if you could do these two things, I believe it's going to help you seize your opportunity. And these are two things that Jesus got right in this. He got a lot of things right, obviously. But in this story, two things that he chose to believe in the middle of his opportunity, even while opposition was coming. And these are the two things that I want to challenge us to believe. And they're going to sound really simple. But man, I hope it hits you at your core. Number one, the first thing you must believe is that what God says is true. What God says is true. What God says is true. God has already spoken to you things about your future. Can I tell you? What he says is true. God's already given you clarity on what the outcome will be. What God says is true. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. What God says is true. I know, Andrew, but you don't understand. It's kind of, no. What God says is true. And sometimes when you're right at the 1 yard line, it's when the noise gets the loudest. But what did Jesus know? What God says is true. Can I tell you something? That believing or having faith is not a feeling. You're not going to feel like believing what God says is true. You're not going to feel it. The Bible said, it was very clear, Jesus was hungry. When you're starving, the last verse you probably want to declare is, man shall not live on bread alone. Probably not the one I'm going to quote when I'm really, really hungry. But Jesus wasn't going by what he felt. Jesus was going by what he believed. So when you're going through some opposition, it's okay if you don't feel like it. You have to establish where you stand. I know, but what if it gets worse? It don't matter. It's where I stand. I know, but what if it gets really, really worse? It don't matter. It's where I stand. It's where I stand. I'm just going to believe what he says is true. That's my job. Not to figure out how is it going to happen, though, because that's our next question. Well, how? How? I don't see light at that. It don't matter. I believe what he says is true. I don't feel like it. I want to turn this stone into a loaf of bread because I am hungry. But I'm going to choose to believe that what he says is true. The second thing and the last thing, and Ben, you can come up as we get ready to wrap this up. The second thing that Jesus had to choose to believe was true. Number two, who God says that you are. Jesus had to believe that he was who God says that he was. The very first attack in that moment on Jesus, while it was the temptation of the stone to bread, the first question that arose is, if you are the Son of God, let me just get you to question who you are. And if you don't know who God says that you are no match for the enemy's tactics. You have to know who God says that you are. And a lot of times we allow culture, we allow our parents, we allow previous relationships to paint a picture of what God probably thinks about me. Can I tell you something? God made it very clear to Jesus and to everybody who Jesus was to him before Jesus was ever asked that question. In Luke 3:22, this is when Jesus was being baptized, right before he goes into the wilderness. It says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. You are my Son, and in you I am well pleased.'" For some of you, that is a very hard pill to swallow. That your Father in heaven would say, "I'm pleased with you. You are my Son. You are my daughter. And I'm pleased with you." This all don't make any sense though, God. Because when my kids go to school and they're gonna take a test, I never tell them how great of a job they did until the test is over. Up until this point, Jesus hadn't done anything. He didn't heal anybody. He didn't pass all the temptation tests in the wilderness yet. He hadn't turned water to wine. He was just getting started. And God would make it clear that this is mine and I am pleased. And if you ever lose sight of that view, if you ever lose sight of God's perspective, the enemy doesn't even have to fight you. You'll fight yourself. You gotta know who you are. You gotta know that God is for you. You gotta know that God loves you, that God believes in you. Yeah, does he know everything? He knows everything you've done and he knows everything you will do. And he still says, "I am for you." He's for you. Jesus wasn't moved by this question because Jesus believed that he was who his Father said he was. And somebody in this place today, with all of your history and track record, even if you leave these doors and decide to never, ever look to God, I want you to know that God is not like your dad. God is not like your mom. He loves you. He's for you. For some of you, people have hurt you, turned their back on you, and you didn't even do anything. God is not them. God is for you. He loves you and he wants to see you succeed. So when you find yourself in moments of opposition, it's important to believe not just what God says, but to believe, "Andrew, I am loved by God. And when I hit this mark, my mark in this earth, it's not gonna be because I was the smartest person. It's not gonna be because I was the most qualified. It's not going to be because I crossed every T and dotted every I and made every declaration to perfection. It's going to be because my God loves me." I believe things are going to happen in your life. And when they do, it's not going to be a result of your goodness. It will be a result of his goodness. For some of us, it is so hard to receive anything. You go to Starbucks, someone pays for your drink in line, and you feel obligated to pay for the prayer. Well, just receive it. God is a good father. You're going to have to be better at receiving things. Yeah, we know you don't deserve it, but he's a good dad. There's a lot of things that my kids have in their life today they didn't deserve, but out of my heart and love for them, I said, "This ain't about you. This is about me getting to do something that brings life to me, and I hope it brings life to you." God's going to do some special things. And when he does, just know it is God showing his goodness to you. Can you stand to your feet right where you're?
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.